Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to take just a little different tack today. And when God said, Elohim, let us create man in our image, He was talking about His children. Elohim is plural. His father and His children. So, therefore, each of you, look as you did there. How precious it is. But He felt and saw fit to come Himself. That's why He included Himself. And that's why we come to this second chapter. Verse 6 of chapter 2, the book of Hebrews, and it reads, But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And of course, from the Psalm, Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. And he is over the works of the Father's hands. Everything is going to be placed under His feet. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him, but now we see not yet all things put under Him. Well, it hasn't all come to pass. But you want to rest assured, if you want to be blessed, if you want to have knowledge, if you want to have wisdom, you better know and understand that the day is coming when everything will be placed under His feet. As a matter of fact, He has given you power over all your enemies. So, you don't have anything to fear or to worry about. Why? Because you're a believer. Because you've proven yourself. And He has marked it paid in full. And how much He loves those that serve Him. He loves them enough that, you know what He did? He came and paid the price for us. That's what this chapter is about, and that's why we're here. But be on the winning team. God blesses those that love Him. And as long as you follow Him, as long as you do it His way, as long as you prove all things in the Scripture, you're going to be blessed, and no one can stop you. You will be blessed when God is with you. If He isn't, you better do a little research. Time to take a little inventory. What am I doing? Which way is it going? All right. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know, that shows a great deal of love. Love from Him. How much He loved you. That He died for you. So that your sins could be forgiven. You know, and you know how many times you've been in problems, had habits. And He did that for you. Why? Because there is a great conflict, which we'll be speaking of this afternoon. You want to be on the right side of that conflict. Because He that took your part, and He whom all things are under His feet, is the one you want to serve, or you can get trumped. Okay. You get out in the ways of the world, and you follow things unscriptural, and you can get hurt real bad. But it's so easy and so simple to follow the way of God and the simplicity and the path that He set for you. For He is that path. He is that way. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom all are all things, in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of, that's to say the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's why salvation is so precious. So expensive. Meaning, I thought it was free. No, he paid an awesome price for it. And anytime you start thinking it's free, you leave that part out of what he has done for you. And it makes it real easy to drift then if you're not careful to know that he did that for you. Why? It's real simple. He really loves you. Would you believe that? I said, he really loves you. Not a pretense. There's some of the things you may do that he doesn't love, but he does love you. He did that because he set the way, the path, the pioneer, the first that could come into that totality of freedom from the controversy of Satan that he brought into this world. Verse 11, continuing, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Do you know that? Don't ever be ashamed of yourself, because he's not ashamed of you. He loves you. And you know something? He that was nailed to that cross, he likes to call you brother or sister, family, one family, under God. And he, being the one that loved you enough, but he stood in for you. He made atonement for you at one month in that family. He had a purpose, and the purpose ultimately, and we're coming to it here. Verse 12, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Those words were, they came from the mouth of Jesus Christ as he was nailed to the cross. You can read it in Psalms chapter 22, verse 22. It's real easy to remember. 22, 22. Christ's words on that cross. Why? Teaching you today. I don't mind declaring the truth in the congregation of the people, because it is that truth that gives them liberty, that gives them freedom, that saves their very being, their soul, whereby it can live eternally with our Heavenly Father. He saw fit for that. And even as he was paying that price with arms outstretched, full from the socket, he's saying that to you. He said it. He didn't mind paying that price. He didn't mind teaching that truth before the congregation, before the very body. And he did that gladly. There's a good reason for it, because he loves you. And he's certainly not ashamed. Verse 13, "And again, I will put my trust in him." I mean, all of it. "And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." And this is quoting Scripture, beloved. 14, why we came here. Listen carefully. "For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself took took part of the same." That, for what purpose? "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." That's to say, the devil. You see, God is always fair. He's going to kill Satan, okay? Do you know something? Satan's his child. God created that soul. Have you ever thought about having to kill one of your own children? You know, it's a bitter pill. But that child saw fit to yell as he was being nailed, "Crucify him!" with no shame, demanding the death of Christ, which is to say Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. But I got some bad news for Satan. He didn't die. Christ didn't die. He was transformed. And that first prophecy the fact that I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. You will bruise his heel. He was nailed to that cross. His heel's nailed. But he's going to bust your head. Okay. He's going to bust your head. That means final. That's what you go for, okay? So that's why he came here, and that's why he accomplished that. So without reservation, he has the right, by law, to destroy that child of his, which is to say the devil himself. And the devil is death. If you follow him, you're going to die. Okay? It's that simple. We have people that mock Christianity. We had a comedian that accepted an award and said, Jesus can do something, I won't repeat it, but this award is my God. And then later, when so much anger came at her, she said, can't you take a joke? And some newscaster, bless their heart, said, you may think it's funny and you may think it's comedy, but you better hope and pray St. Peter does. So there's a day of reckoning coming. And that day of evening up is going to happen. But Christ loves you enough that he paid that price that you could be stamped perfect, a believer, under the shadow and the wing of that great eagle, which is to say the song of Moses in Deuteronomy, our Heavenly Father protecting, his protection, his strength, his will, belongs to you. Just for the taking, just for the believing. And this is not one of those places here also where people say, well, if God was born in the flesh and had to suffer like we do, this might not... He did. That's what this chapter is about. He did come in the flesh. That's why he said, you call that baby Emmanuel, which is to say, being interpreted, God with us. So he didn't ask you to do something that he didn't do himself, only he did it perfectly as an example to us. And not only did he do it perfectly, but he took on the load of all our sins on perfect repentance. That is to say, honest repentance. 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And you're free. Absolutely free. Not hung up. No hang-ups. Free. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. I mean, he could come here as a supernatural entity, but he didn't. But he took on him the seed of Abraham, that is to say, a human being. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You got any sins? They're going to be washed away here in a moment. If you haven't repented yet, you're going to. And they're going to be washed away with his blood, which is symbolic of this wine that the juice of the vine, grape juice, when taken to purify, to make right, to reconcile, to put you in good standing with our Heavenly Father. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. That word secure is guaranteed. It's a down payment. It's guaranteed. In the bag. For you, you can count on it. Now, you know, it's amazing to me, though, how many would say, well, I just wish I could believe. Well, I feel sorry for those that can't, because that automatically puts them out from under that wing. That automatically takes them away from that security. That secure guarantee, I did it for you claim that. That's what he's saying. We do claim that. Go on, if you would, to chapter 10 in the same book of Hebrews. And chapter 10 has to do with the law. And verse 1 of chapter 10 reads, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, which can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." There is no way that goat's blood or a bull's blood can free your sins or free you from it. It's going to be year after year after year bringing the sacrifice. And you know what God said? "I don't want it. I don't want your burnt animals. I want your love." Okay. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins." There's no more guilt. Okay. But they did have guilt because it came. That's why it's so precious that you remember that He reconciled your sins. You don't have to have that guilt. And He did it one time for all. Never again and again, year by year. He rent that veil, and in you can walk. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Just doesn't happen. But the blood of the Savior did, because He secured you. He guaranteed. "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, a human being, the Son of God. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Gave God no pleasure whatsoever. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Real easy to remember. "I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love. I want you." Then said I, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." And we have Psalms 40 here, teaching that old good old word. "Above, when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second," the covenant that is eternal. The covenant that when you partake of it, when you take it unto yourself, you have eternal life. You're a child of God. You're family. You're His brethren. And he loves you. "Then said He, Lo, I come to do thy will." Okay, verse 10. "But by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." One time. Not this year after year thing. But He's with you continually. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Don't go man's way. Go God's way. "But this man," meaning Christ, your Savior, "after He had offered one sacrifice of sin for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God." And there He sits. And do you know what He is? He's your counselor. He sits at the right hand of God to stand between you and the world when it comes against you. If you're a believer, if you know that, if you claim that, it makes all the difference in the world to have His hand upon you, to touch you, to bring you through those hard times. Many times you wonder, that wasn't any problems at all. No, He took care of it because you asked. He loves his children. And by one offering himself forever, he did that for you. Not for the whole world, yes, but you as an individual. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And so it is in the great book of Isaiah there, how precious it is that he does this. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Once you repent, don't bring it up again. That's a good way to get the whole thing dumped right back on your life. Is for you. Do you know why? Because if you repent of a sin and ask his forgiveness, when he has promised you he would, and if you reach down and take it back up again, you're calling him a liar. Do you understand how unhealthy that is? It's not a healthy thing to call God a liar. He will not tolerate it. So once you repent, you turn it over to him and you leave it with him, and he doesn't want to hear about it anymore. Because he just said you were perfect. You'll sin again, but don't bring that one up, because he forgave it. That means it doesn't exist. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In other words, you have the right. Only once a year could a high priest walk into the Holy of Holies, giving offerings as he went. But Christ rent that veil that's the door to the Holy of Holies from top to bottom, and said, boldly come on in through me. So you have him. You have him with you at any time that you need him. As it is written, even if you're a believer, your angel has the face of God at any time. Your watchman has the face of God if you get in trouble. If you need him, if you ask him. Why? He loves you. And he loves you a great deal. Turn with me in closing to the great book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Let's pick it up with verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. That bread of life. His body took the stripes. We get the healing. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament. His blood of what? The New Testament, the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It washes sins away. This is why I came here. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That day is coming, friends. We're going to be partaking of this with him, because he is returning. And we're coming down to that place. At Shepherd's Chapel, everyone has the right to take communion. We do everything all at the same time. Everyone that is a believer and knows that Christ was able, that Christ was perfect, not you, We know you're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But I know Christ was perfect. I know that He is able. I know that He is that Savior. This is what He instructed us.